You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mean, two game sevens yesterday, and talk about this crew right here. Stephen A. Smith, the one and only Pat Beverly. Great to have you in studio, sir. Great job on Get Up. I was watching you, and of course, JJ Redick. Gentlemen.
I just want to say, y'all be nice. Y'all be nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, both of y'all.
You're my little brother now.
Don't ignore that.
He is a little scared today because what he thinks is going to happen here is that you and I are going to tag team and team up.
That's what y'all do.
That's what y'all do.
I know how y'all roll.
He doesn't know how you're going to come. So, yeah, he's nervous about it.
Trust me. I know that's my little brother right there. I know how he's going to come at me. How's mama? Everybody.
She's good. She's good. Thank you for asking, brother. Thank you,
Mr. Beverly.
All right, gentlemen, let's do it. A lot to unpack. So as I mentioned, two game sevens on Sunday as Luka and the Mavs said no mas to the number one seeded Phoenix Suns, not just sending them packing in Phoenix, but blowing them out by 33. There are levels to this, and Luka is on another one, 35-10-4. Here's Jason Kidd on silencing those critics.
We don't know how far this can go. That's why we got to play them. That's why we showed up to play this evening. No one gave us a chance. A lot of people said it was going to be a blowout. Well, they were right, but they didn't have us on the winning side.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Yeah, of course.
It was a good old-fashioned ass-whooping, beginning to end.
All right, Chris Paul at 10, Devin Booker 11. Stephen A., I'll start with you here. Mm-hmm. What went wrong for the Suns?
Everything. That's the first answers. Props to the Dallas Mavericks. I got to apologize. I didn't see this coming. I knew Luka was going to do what he was going to do. I had no idea Spencer Dinwiddie would play like that. I thought Jalen Brunson would do his thing. But to be up by 30 at the half, Luka to have as many points as the Phoenix Suns in the first half, for them to be up as many as 46 in a game seven. It was the largest halftime deficit in the history of a game seven. It was one of the largest deficits, the 46-point deficit in NBA history. It was a complete catastrophe on the part of the Phoenix Suns. It don't get much worse than what we saw yesterday. DeAndre Ayton, good luck in getting your max dollars. That's going to be compromised. You Devin Booker, you still a star. Mad respect for you in the whole bit. But a game seven defines legacies. We all know this. When you don't show up in a game seven in epic fashion the way that they did yesterday, that is the kind of stuff that stays attached to you throughout your career unless you offset it by coming back to win a championship. That's just the way it is, JJ and Bev. Y'all know that. That's number two. Number three, I'm sad for my man Chris Paul because from the moment he turned 37, he's been awful. Averaging 9 points, 3.5 turnovers. I don't know what the hell happened to him over the last 4 or 5 games. When they lost 4 of those last 5 games, I don't know what the hell happened. Since he dropped 28 points in game 2, Chris Paul has made 18 shots and has committed 18 turnovers the rest of this series. That's all he did. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I know they think they'll be back next year, but I'm looking at all the teams in the Western Conference, and I got serious concerns about the future. It was very, very bad, period. No excuses. They got their butts whipped.
No, they're not going back. They're not going back. The NBA is going to be way more healthier next year. The competition is going to be stiff. People understand the way to win against Phoenix, and that is attacking Chris Paul. If you watch the game, if I'm a coach and if I'm playing Phoenix Suns in the playoffs, I'm holding my hat on that. It worked. Wear them down, make them play D, make them score, make them facilitate, and we go have our hats at the end of who go win. And that's what Dallas did. You have to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit. A lot of credit. He did a hell of a job.
I've talked about the Phoenix Suns in a glowing light all season. Yeah. I've talked about Book and CP in a glowing light all season. And CP is a dear friend, but they deserve all the slander that they are going to get over the coming weeks and months for that Game 7 performance.
And they talk so much.
I was on here last week, and we've said the same thing. I said the same thing as you. It was 2-2. I said, ultimately, I think, you know, Suns win this series. I did game six on Thursday, and I think Dallas had figured them out. And I had a really hard time believing that they were going to win yesterday, that Suns would be able to win yesterday. Luka came out, he snatched their soul. Like, there was something that happened there in that first half, first quarter and a half, where he just took their soul. He took all the life out of that team. That's how good he is. To your point, they attacked CP. Game six and seven, CP scored 23 points. As the primary defender, when he was guarding, he gave up 33 points. 118 points per possession when he was the primary defender in game six and seven. That's league best offense.
That is
league best offense. So the formula, you blitz CP, you don't play drop, you force him to his left hand, and you attack him. Because when you get down to the playoffs, we've seen this year especially, when you get down to the playoffs, what matters? Size matters.
Right.
You need big wings. You need a player like Giannis. That's why losing Chris Middleton was so important, you know, for the Celtics to win that series. You need size. And, I love CP. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time. He's one of them, Pat. He's absolutely one of them.
Is this one to let up?
But I do question if he is your best player.
Right.
If he is your best player, is your ceiling a championship team?
Well,
and so far, historically, the answer to that is no.
The ceiling is not a championship team. That's number one. Let's get that out of the way. You get blown out and you down by 46 in a game seven on your home court. Everything goes out the window.
Yep.
You have been significantly humbled and exposed. Those are the two words that come to my mind, humbled and exposed. Yeah, Luka did what he did, but I'm not surprised by that. I expected Luka to do his thing. What I didn't expect is that the reason why I picked the Phoenix Suns to win this game is because they were getting blown out on the road and they were winning at home. The role players seem to be different in Dallas than they were when they went on the road. And that's what I was counting on. I was thinking about game seven, pressurized environment. It's going to have to come down to Luka, and Luka alone wins you at home, but on the road, not so much. So I was assuming that Phoenix was going to do what they were supposed to do in game seven. But let's call it what it is. They got their ass kicked. And I mean thoroughly. It was a beat down. And if you are Devin Booker, you've also been humbled because, again, Luka is such a star. That was your opportunity to remind everybody you were 1-2. And so you are part of that team that gets blown out that way. You have absolutely no answer whatsoever. It comes down to that. But I'll go to you, Bev, because I want you to elaborate. You're talking about Phoenix talk so much. Give us some perspective, some insight on what it's like to play against the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, We are in Phoenix. We're playing against them, and hey, we're gonna see you guys in the playoff. You guys are gonna be the eighth seed. You guys who we want to see. But I'm gonna pause it right there. All right, if Kawhi's not hurt, Phoenix doesn't go to the championship last year.
I agree with that.
Let's be honest.
No, I agree with that.
So now, why are we the next year talking about how great?
Because they turned around and they won 64 games.
They're a seasoned team. Their system is great. Their system is a system that all the players know. Their coach, they have all the players coming back. They had the main core been there. They just added CP. Their coach has been phenomenal. Of course you're supposed to win a lot of games. You're made up to win a lot of games.
64 games says something.
Man, and then get blowed out says another
thing. I agree that, but I'm saying if they win yesterday, we're not saying that because they had won 64 games.
That's why
we anticipated they were going to the conference finals. I thought Golden State was going to take them out. That was my belief all year. They was going to meet Phoenix, and they were going to take them out because Dallas was a body short.
We wanted them first round.
Minnesota wanted them first round.
First round.
Carl Anthony Towns wanted them first round.
Anthony Edwards wanted them first round.
Anthony Edwards. I mean, don't get me started, but that's a big time, bro.
You guys should have lost to the Clippers then.
I think there's an element here.
I talked about this earlier this morning. There is an element here, you know, X's and O's wise. I think this is important to note.
Okay.
The Phoenix Suns have one of the worst shot profiles in the NBA, in the modern NBA. Pat Bev, what do teams try to get? Threes, layups, free throws,
yeah.
Right?
Corner threes.
You're right. They operate in the mid-range. They're bottom five in the league in the regular season in three-point attempts. They're bottom five in the league in the regular season in free throw attempts per game. Now in the playoffs, they're 15th out of 16th in those two categories.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't generate enough pressure on the rim to create three-point opportunities. And what Dallas did in this series, they're up on every Chris Paul pick and roll. They're late switching on every. He can't get to that
pick
elbow jumper.
Yep.
Devin Booker, every time he gets a dribble handoff, every time he's in a pick and roll, they're blitzing that action. The Suns don't have that third guy. They don't have that third perimeter score.
But, fellas, we're not having a conversation
about why Phoenix lost. We're having a conversation about
it just why says, the, it me, says on the sh- it says down there my, what my, went wrong for Phoenix.
You interrupted. Get my point. We're not having a conversation about why Phoenix lost in theory. We're having a conversation about why they were down by 46 points.
Scared.
30 at the half.
They were scared.
So now that's where, what are you saying to that?
Basketball player, you can see it in their eyes. They were scared. It ain't about Luka taking it. So they knew starting the game what was going to happen. He's done it before. They watch, trust me. They have iPhones. They have Instagram. They see the numbers of Luka Doncic averaging 39. They hear me saying, man, he did it to me. He did it to me, Kawhi and Paul George. I'm damn sure he's going to do it to them. They know that. Boy, scared of Luka. Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man. Everybody in the league knows that, bro. Like, it's just that y'all don't know that because y'all not in the locker room. No one's afraid of Phoenix. We wanted them. We wanted them. No one's afraid of Phoenix. Yeah. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul George last night, man. Pat, ain't nobody scared of them. But you face Dallas, you ain't scared of Dallas, but, man, you...
You scared Luka.
Hey, man, you got to get your game right when you play Luka. I'm just being honest.
Right.
I want to go back to something really quick that you said earlier, Pat. You don't think CP3 is one of the greatest point guards?
My opinion. And of
Tell
course...
Tell me why.
If I did a job and I had a freedom to do a job for 17 years and I got the keys to the Lamborghini in order to do the job and I did it and I was healthy, I took care of my body, I did all the small things for me to stay consistent in this league and I did it for 17 years, I better have some damn numbers. I better have numbers. And that's what I'm saying. If J.J. Redick was played with freedom for 17 years, the way he played with the Clippers, if he played like that for 17 years, he had a three-point, he had a record. No discredit for Steph Curry. I'm just saying, over a long period of time, you should get those numbers. And over a long period of time, you play the game long enough, you go get numbers.
But doesn't the brother deserve credit for lasting that long? And being in the league that long?
Being good enough to be given the keys? Like, they're not giving the keys to the Lambo to any driver.
What about in clutch moments?
Well, this is where, to me, we're going to bring up his playoff failings. Chris Paul, for his career, has been better in the playoffs than in the regular season. Mm-hmm. These five games, he was terrible. He was terrible. This was not the CP3 that we've gotten used to. The one thing, you know, you bring up a valid point about, you know, the legacy and the opinion of it being based on his freedom, right? I get it. But you still have to be good enough to be given freedom.
If you're a top pick, you still have to be good enough to do it that long, Pat.
You know that. You still have, there's guys that do it for 2 or 3 years. To do it for 17 years at his level.
He hasn't done it for 17 years. He's done it for 15 years because he didn't make the playoffs a couple years.
Okay. There's another.
Just being honest. I'm just not going to let y'all up here and just say anything. And I'm going to be like, oh, okay, I agree.
Excuse me.
I'm
not. We don't want you to do that.
First of all, you first take my brother. You're entitled to say
that. No, you disagree with everything.
You're actually made the first one. We good. It's no problem. It's no problem.
It's a perfect show.
But I want to ask you because I'm going to ask this question. This is to both of you guys because it's a very important question. CP3 turned 37 last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment he turned 37, mm-hmm. over these last five games, it just plummeted. I'm looking at CP3 numbers here. 28.4 million next season. 30.8 million the season after that.
That's 39.
30.8 million in 2024-25. That's his last year.
I think there's a partial in the fourth year.
It is a partial in the fourth. What I'm asking is this. So he got 2.5 years left where he's going to make this money. He's going to be in there, whatever. Was the last five games an aberration? Or was it an indication of things to come? Because does it hit you that quick, that drastic, where there's just a complete drop-off that you can't recover from? Or are we going to just sit up here and say, CP3 had a bad five games?
I just think I'm going to go first. And I'll let you
go ahead.
Laz, you said 37 5 days ago?
Yeah, last Friday.
Last Friday. And that's when the game plan changed to start attacking Chris Paul.
Okay, 9 days ago.
To be a two-way player in this league is extremely hard, and we don't give them enough credit. To be able to play defense, to be able to play, make, facilitate, and get your own bucket is extremely hard. Extremely hard. For anybody at whatever age. And that's all we've seen.
Okay.
They just took his legs away from him. And there was a reason why he was shooting a high percentage. He shot all spot-ups. He didn't have to move. Look at the game. He shot all spot-ups, spot-up Trey.
And I agree, but what I'm saying is based on what you're saying, Is that what we should expect from him in the future?
Man, if I'm a coach next year, man, I'm doing the same game plan. With Chris Paul, I'm maybe not for the season because you can get away from the season. Refs not going to call all that ticky-tack stuff. They're going to send CP to the free throw line 13, 14 times. But in the playoffs, if I'm a coach, man, I'll be attacking him from the start and see how our dominoes lay.
The blueprint is absolutely there for how to attack CP in the playoffs. And look, he'll probably have another great season. And if they keep this core together, the Phoenix Suns will win a lot of games. They probably won't win 64 next year. But to keep size on him, to blitz him, to be up and pick a roll. You think about last year against you guys when Zubac was on the floor, when Jokic was on the floor against Denver. We watched in the first round against Valanciunas. Like, you just can't play drop coverage in the playoffs against CP. I don't understand why teams would do that. And credit to Dallas, they made that adjustment. And then, as you said, like, size matters. At this point, at 37, he'll be 38 next year in the playoffs. The size matters. It will catch up to him. Yes, absolutely.
All right, I think we're letting Devin Booker off the hook, though, because we're just focusing on Chris Paul here. I have numbers here. He's 0 for 11 from three-point the last two games when the Suns were facing elimination. What does that say to you?
What has he done before? I mean, of course.
People were saying he could become the face of the league.
I'm saying, and I agree with that. They're going to make him the face of the league. This they're going to do that regardless because his face is perfect for it. But I'm saying, what has he done before? I mean, he's only made the playoffs one time before. Like, why are we just jumping on a boat and just like,
no, the brother got game now. I mean, no one in the league is scared of him either?
That he can get hot and go off?
Devin Booker?
No, I'm
man, y'all stop, man. When I compare people like Devin Booker, I put him in the same category as the same tier of Luka Doncic when you talk about players, right? Not the same game, but I'm saying when you talk about young rising stars, right? You have to put him, Trae Young in there. You have to put Luka in there. You probably have to put Anthony Harris, Jason Tatum.
Hold on. Let me put
Bev. Luka's at the same level. Hold on.
Let me put Bev on the spot here. I would put Devin Booker in the same class offensively.
Uh-huh.
I would put him in the same class as a Paul George.
As who?
Paul George, your former teammate, who is a star in this league.
Hey, man.
Paul George is a star. Is he not?
Which Paul George?
What do you mean, which Paul George?
I'm asking a serious question. Before you get all...
The Paul George of the Clippers.
Not the Indiana one, because they're different ages. So give me the Paul George you're talking about.
Oh, damn it.
I'm being honest. You can't give me the last year of Hakeem Olajuwon and compare Shaq to the prime Olajuwon.
Before he had the nasty knee injury, there was a more athletic Paul George.
That's compare Indiana Paul George with Devin Booker.
No,
not even close.
I'm saying this Paul George that's on the Clippers, I still find to be a star in this league.
I agree.
But so Devin Booker's not on that level?
No. Now he is. But prime Paul George, no.
But you are putting him in the same level as Luka. That's where I'm getting confused.
I'm putting him in the same category as rising stars as Luka. As the face of the
No, Luka. He's not. Luka has shown there's a distinct difference between him and Devin Booker. I'll give you that.
You guys are talking about basketball. I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about a group of guys, five guys, that's going to be rising stars in the NBA for time to come, right? That's what I'm saying. That's the category he's in.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Luka is making it happen.
Yes.
Luka has made it happen since day one. Not saying that Devin Booker hasn't. Luka has made it happen since day one. Yes. In the playoffs, too. Yes. Come on, man. Y'all can't get this man Devin Booker all this. He only made the playoffs one time before. Only one time.
I think there's an important distinction. Let's get aside from the Paul George, Devin Booker comparison.
Not even close.
I don't even think that's worth arguing about. But there's a difference between being a top five player and being a star. There's a difference between being a top five player and a rising star. There's a difference between being a top five player and an all-star. There's a difference top five all-NBA. When you're a top five player, your team has a chance to win a championship.
Is he a top five player?
That's it. Luka. Luka. Kawhi Leonard with Toronto. Giannis last year. Like LeBron, you need a top five player to win a championship. Historically speaking, in the NBA, top five player currently. Right then, in the moment, top five, that's what you need. And the Suns don't have that right now. That's a fact.
I will tell you this. If it's amazing what one game can do, because if this were reversed and Phoenix was the one that had won by four, was up by 46 yesterday, and they were blowing Dallas out of the building, and Devin Booker had played that way instead of Luka, we might be having a different conversation. But because of what actually happened, Devin Booker does not realize the damage that this loss has done. When you look at him, you're going to look at him differently now. Because that you a game seven with everything on the line, everybody know you got to show up.
But how did you look at him before?
What I looked at him is, I still look at him as a star, but let me be very clear. I still looked at him as a star. I had him as one of my top five league MVP candidates this year.
What type of star? The five-pointer star or the six-pointer? Because there's a difference.
I don't even know how to answer that.
Five-point. He's a six-pointer star, and I've never seen that in person.
What does that mean?
That means that you don't really see those type of stars all the time. They come and go. He's not, man. He's not a star.
But Stephen, you're right about that. You've seen that before. That's true.
Stephen, this is the second time he's done this in an elimination game. So what does it say to you now?
What it says to me is that he's not what we thought he was. Period. It doesn't mean that he can't play. It doesn't mean that he's not a star caliber player, but there are levels to this. And when you don't show up when it counts most, that gets held against you because that separates, or to use all the categories that you threw out there, that's where the separation takes place.
So I'm not comparing Devin Booker to Giannis by any stretch of the imagination, but when Giannis had his failures in Milwaukee, we had a lot of these same conversations. Giannis, who has grown up and matured, he has talked about this during these playoffs and how valuable those failures are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question is going forward about Devin Booker. What will we talk about him going forward?
Can
he get there?
My response is yes. But until
will he learn?
He gets there,
No doubt. Which is the same reason we're going to have.
What does there mean? So
get there is winning a game like last night.
No, because he won't be in that position again.
Because Phoenix is not going to win.
Come on, are you kidding me? No.
I mean, that's presently constructed, yeah, but then when they pulled off a trade or something, you never know what's going to happen.
As constructed, I believe it was Phoenix's last chance.
Hey, you're flying to Miami today. Let's get to the East. Yeah. So the Celtics came back from being down 3-2 to take Game 6 in Milwaukee and Game 7 in Boston. They led by 10 in the third on Sunday when Jason Tatum sat for a bit with four fouls and never relinquished the lead and just dominated from there, culminating in a 19-point win and punching their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the Heat. Boston's leading scorer, you ask? That is Grant Williams. Jason Tatum says get familiar.
Grant played great tonight. You're right. He took more shots than anybody on the team. I think that's a first. He took 18 threes. I told him, don't get used to that. But obviously tonight we needed it.
Legs heavy, body heavy, mind heavy, everything was heavy. I was just trying to be aggressive. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's game seven, and I'm not going to, you know, hold the ball and, you know, not look at the rim. I'd rather, you know, miss a bunch of shots and keep playing and keep coming and keep being aggressive. Keep, you know, looking for my teammate, keep making the right plays, then, you know, go in the passive mode. I can live with that.
JJ, we can't sneeze at the fact that they had to go to Milwaukee, win a game six, come back home, win a game seven. Obviously, tough team. Were you surprised that the Celtics came back in this series?
Not at all. I thought they were the better team. And this series really showed two things. Number one, Milwaukee needed Chris Middleton. Their half-court offense was terrible in this series, and they were going against the best defense, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs. 80 points per 100 possessions in the half-court. So much was on Giannis's shoulder in this series, and they couldn't get anyone to have offensive output at an efficient level. Drew Holiday did not have a good series. This was all on Giannis's shoulder. They needed Middleton. The second thing is Milwaukee's defense. I don't understand the strategy of allowing Grant Williams, a 41% shooter in the regular season, a 41% shooter from three in the playoffs, to have 17 standstill looks. I'm not including the 18th one because it was a bad catch and he threw it up at the end of the shot clock. 17 line you up, practice shots, 9 feet away, average distance, closest defender when he caught the ball. That is ridiculous.
I understand why.
Why?
Because they were still trying to recover from what Jason Tatum did to them in game six.
They didn't even close out, though.
I'm saying, that's what the hell happened. You had Budenholzer so petrified that Jason Tatum get going that he sat up there in game plan and said, listen, make sure he don't shoot, damn it. We'll work out everything else. Let's make sure, let anybody shoot but him. And they were scared, he scared the living hell out of them because of what he did in game six in Milwaukee, and they were punch drunk from it, and they didn't recover.
They even
We've seen it a lot.
They even put two on the ball with Petrick. If you see some of the highlights, they – literally putting two on the ball with the guy Petrick. If I'm a coach.
Pritchard.
Okay, how you say his name? Petrick, Pritchard, Richard. I don't care.
I was like, who is
that?
Yeah.
But they put
Mikal Fitchers.
They put the two on the ball with him.
Right.
Like, come on, man. What type of defense can sustain that throughout the whole game?
No question.
But this was their defense all year. They're going to give up a ton of three-pointers. I get your point about the overreaction, but Bud has never overreacted in the playoffs. He's said, this is how we're going to guard, and we're going to guard this way, and we're going to do our system over and over again. Right. And we're going to rely on Wes Matthews and Drew Holiday to make it tough on Tatum.
Okay.
And they had some success in this series.
Okay.
Game five, they had success. Game one, they had success.
Well, there's a couple of things.
So I don't buy the overreaction. This is just how they guard.
You can say you don't have to buy it. I don't buy it. Damn it. That's what I'm doing.
Number one.
Number two, they did shoot 4-33 from three-point range. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget the fact that Grayson Allen had no business on the court. He was a disaster in this series. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget the fact that Bobby Portis didn't have a good game yesterday either.
First person you named?
No, Grayson Allen was filling.
Who?
Let me finish.
Man, stop. Why are you naming these people on your show?
Because
they get no play in our locker room in the NBA.
I was pointing out that they didn't produce. They didn't produce.
Duh.
Giannis, but wait a minute. Giannis kept kicking the ball to him. The fact of the matter, they had no choice because Middleton wasn't there. Drew Holiday did not have an effect. Can I mention him? You going to tell me not to mention him?
He had to take all this energy and guard.
I understand that. I'm not faulting him. I'm just saying what happened. The point is I'm just naming a multitude of players
who had this.
Anybody that the Greek Freak was kicking the ball to who were wide open and missing shots.
I got a question for you. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks,
if I'm
last
Milwaukee
summer
Bucks.
Coming off a championship, would you be willing to give PJ Tucker 2 years, $15 million?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Like the Miami Heat did,
without question.
This series to me speaks to them not bringing him back because they had to play big. They didn't have him on the floor. So they don't have any wing depth because Middleton's out. Drew's exhausted. They've got Lopez guarding shooters on the perimeter. Them not bringing P.J. Tucker back was going to bite them at some point, absolutely, and it bit them in the series.
So when you say them, so that's because sometimes y'all like to say words that sometimes our viewers don't understand.
The front office, the team.
There we go. Let's just say, the front office would have did their job, basically, what you're saying, and brung the defensive player and P.J. Tucker back, they would have had a chance.
Yeah, it would have helped.
Okay, well,
it
just helped.
I'm not saying he would have solved their half-court issues, but some of this – sort of lack of versatility defensively, wing depth, having to have Drew Holiday take on a bigger role on offense and having to guard Tatum or Brown, plus having Lopez Portis on the floor at the same time. Like, you can go small with P.J. Tucker. Grant Williams maybe doesn't get those threes in a game seven. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate the breakdown. We all know they should have never let go.
Yeah.
P.J. Tucker. We said that when they did.
Pay him.
When they paid the man.
Pay him.
We said it automatically.
Pay
it was
him.
A stupid decision, especially when you just won the chip.
Pay
you
him.
You just won the chip. And part of it was, listen, regardless of the numbers KD put up, for example, you saw how P.J. Tucker was going against how much he made him work. You can't minimize that. You don't let go of somebody like that. That's what they did, which is why I brought up Grayson Allen. That was one of the reasons they let him go. Mm. So you could bring somebody like Grayson Allen. So you got people in the scouting department for the Milwaukee Bucks that has some explaining to do, because when you looked at Giannis on the bench, he was not happy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because he's losing. He's looking around him. He's like, what y'all got for me here? What y'all got for me? Look at this position y'all put me in.
Him and
Come
Drew.
Come on.
It is impressive what he did, though, having Chris Middleton. Let me spin this forward, though, because Miami has a good defense, too, when we're talking about Boston. So tell me, how does Miami, Pat, match up with Boston?
Experience in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Spo, he ain't gonna get no sleep. He gonna make sure everything he needs to be done will be done. He's gonna make sure that when it comes to X's and O's, when it comes to adjustments, mm-hmm. top tier. When it comes to scouting, when it comes to knowing the opponent's personnel, we're talking about a top tier coach, able to make adjustments on the fly. I can start Kyle Lowry, I can not start Kyle Lowry. Whoever plays in my system, they're going to play a brand of Miami Heat basketball. Shout out to Miami Heat. I got drafted there. Thanks for giving me a chance. But they go play their brand of basketball, and their brand of basketball is hard, physical basketball all game long.
So it sounds like you're leaning towards Miami.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not.
I think he just said it.
No. I hope I'm wrong. I sincerely hope I'm wrong. Because we know where I want to be in two. Let's be very clear. But with that being said, I will tell you this.
Who wants to be in Miami in June? Can we talk about that for a second? Miami. Like, by April, bro, by April, Miami's unbearable. Can we just talk about that for a second? The humidity is terrible. Come on, it's too hot in June. Stop it.
JJ, stop. He's thinking about the evenings. You go to, cools down a little
bit. You go to the wrong places, my brother. But let me say this to you. In all seriousness, when you look at Miami, they're tough. They got Rough Riders. We know what Jimmy Butler brings to the table. I got a lot of respect for Hero and Adebayo and those brothers. And Eric Spoelstra's one of the best coaches in the game. They'll be ready and what have you.
Ever. That's correct, that. Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches to coach the game.
Okay, sure. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. No problem. No,
well, let's not fight.
You ain't got to correct on everything. It ain't like I said he wasn't.
No, I just want to make sure the viewers get
that. You just try to correct everybody all the second. I'll hold off a second.
You wanted him to qualify the compliment.
That's all. Qualify.
He's like the fairness police over there. I mean, damn. Making sure we're accurate on this.
It's 2 hours, bro. It's 2 hours. I don't want to. But I will tell you, he's one of the best coaches ever.
Thank you.
All right. Having said all of that, Udoka's no joke. This brother could coach, too.
Agreed.
And this defense that they've got, that they play in Boston, is something to behold. And when you combine that with the fact that, again, you're looking at Jimmy Butler, who I believe in. Jimmy Butler is that dude, no doubt about it. But when you look at Tatum and when you look at Jaylen Brown, these are the two that I'm keeping my eyes on. And I think what they bring to the table. And then you've got length and size practically at every position. And the way that you play that Piranha-style defense, the way they get after you, I'm thinking they can match Miami's defensive intensity. And Miami as a closer has Butler. Boston as a closer has Tatum and Brown. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I think that Boston deserves the edge in this series.
I think this series is a lot more closely matched than most people.
It's very close.
Because everybody.
Why? What do you think? Most people are leaning towards Boston?
I think most people would lean towards Boston. I think most people. Yeah, I said prior to the end of the Bucks-Celtics series, I think whoever wins this series probably wins the East. You know, that's I believe that. You know, I believe in the Celtics. I've always believed in the Heat. And I look back to 2020. The Heat beat the Celtics in 6 games in the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble. And then, look, the bubble was a weird time. I get all that.
No. The bubble doesn't count.
Yeah. It doesn't count. That's fine.
The bubble doesn't count.
We'll get to that in a second. The one thing I want to just make note of is that Bam
Adebayo. I'll follow Adebayo up on that best, after we get into commercial
player. Bam Adebayo was the best player for the Heat in that series. Al Horford was on the 76ers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Robert Williams did not play. Grant Williams barely played. You know, so the Celtics, to me, have enough size. Mm-hmm. I agree with your sentiment. I don't think Jaylen Brown is the closer that Tatum or Jimmy Butler is.
I agree.
But I do think from that perspective, the Celtics have a little bit of an advantage in this series.
Yes, slight.
Because
I can see it going
size.
Seven. Yeah, yeah. I can see it going seven.
Celtics, Miami. Let me get in a quick commercial break. Everybody staying put, having fun on a Monday. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So the 76ers won't be in a hunt for a new head coach over the offseason. At a press conference on Friday following Philadelphia's season-ending Game 6 loss to the Miami Heat, Sixers president of basketball ops Daryl Morey announced that Doc Rivers will return as the team's coach next season. As for the other hot topic in Philly, Morey on James Harden. Take a listen.
Look, he's an incredibly talented player, just like Joel, just like Tobias. You know, and I'm excited for Doc and his staff to have a whole offseason work with the players and come up with, you know, the best plan for, you know, the roster we'll have. Obviously, because of our circumstances, you know, having it all come together in February makes it very difficult, I mean, to try and figure out how to unlock, you know, all the different skills of the players and how they can work together. We all know he's a very skilled player, and we'll figure out how to use him.
He said last night that he plans on being back. Obviously, there's a negotiation that has to go into that. Do you anticipate any potential issues with that, or do you fully expect him to be back next year?
That's the plan, is to have him back. That's been the plan since the trade. Obviously, we have to work with his representation, and that'll be between us to figure out how that works.
Tough decisions for Philly. Some would say just trust the process. Harden has a player option in 2022 with $47 million. J.J. Redick, should the Sixers give Harden that supermax?
No, they shouldn't. I'd have a real hard time paying James Harden $60 million at age 37. I've mentioned this a few times, but we have these cameras in the arena that track everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his top speed has been down 2 miles per hour over the last year and a half. His blow-by rate is significantly less, about 25% less than it was in his Houston years. And maybe some of that is health. Maybe that some is lingering issue from the hamstring injury. I get that. You know, you just had a game six where he shot 2 for 11. He took 2 shots in the second half. It'd be hard for me if I'm the ownership group, if I'm Daryl Morey. I know the relationship is there. It's hard for me to justify that. Having said all that, James Harden is still a fantastic player.
What's fantastic?
Fantastic? He's an all-star level point guard.
Give me someone else who's fantastic so I can compare the two.
Well, I think you were on an earlier show, you compared it to Chris Paul's contract. So Chris Paul's contract that he re-signed with Phoenix is $120 million, 4 years. There's a partial guarantee on the third year. Chris signed that when he was 36. I would fully expect James Harden to get more than that. To get more money than that, but I'd have a hard time giving him a supermax at this point in time in his career.
Max, supermax, whatever the word is after supermax, that's what you give him. He's James Harden. He's changed the game. You look at the all-time three-pointers made on the list, I believe he's 3. And he will finish behind Steph Curry at 2. This is a person you give the supermax to, you no hesitation about it. If you hesitate about it, he will go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So who else do you get in place of him?
Go ahead.
Stop.
So the viewers.
They get no supermax.
You're right. He deserves to get the supermax.
He deserves the supermax. You know what I'm saying? Hell, he don't deserve a max. Stop it.
Are you kidding me?
Did I stutter?
Are you kidding me?
Let me tell you, first of all, let me break this down. Patrick Beverly, you don't get paid just for what you've done.
You get paid because they're projecting what you will do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at James Harden, whether it's due to the hamstring injury or whatever, he's not the same dude. He's
and what's
not
the a, same?
Let me,
so he, I understand.
He's what? Not the prolific
30,
scorer.
15, 15. He's not that guy.
He's but not he's, that guy.
But he's 22, 9, and 8.
Yes, 22, 9, and 8. Yeah, I go with that. He's 22, 9, and 8. That number right there. Let's go with your number.
All right.
That is not a Supermax player. That is not a – stop it.
Chris Paul
that,
didn't get excuse me. But he got –
Chris Paul had just gone to the finals, which James Harden has never done. Uh-huh. Let's be clear about that.
Chris Paul's not a Supermax contract.
And that's not a Supermax contract. So let's take that into consideration as well. That's number two. Number three, let's get back to Harden. Harden is no scrub. The brother can ball. We know this. We know how incredible he was for years. I mean, went like 8 straight years averaging a minimum of 27 points a game. Went 5 straight years averaging a minimum of 29. 3 straight years averaging over 30. We know what Harden brings to the table.
Teammate,
but he is not. Exactly. That's why I'm talking to you, because you know better. Because the fact of the matter is, when you look at him now, there is a clear drop-off from what you once saw. And so if you're telling me that Harden deserves to get paid because of years of service, hell with it. Give it to him, because you're right. But if you're talking about projecting moving forward, remember, he's due to get that 47 this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm.
He opts in, he's getting $47 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
But if he opts out, then he's looking for a long-term deal. You trying to tell me this brother deserves
they could,
a max?
They could max him off of the number.
Exactly.
They could max him off
trying to tell me they're going to get him? Of course extension. I know this.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to sit up there and tell me that he deserves to get paid $60 million when he's 37
because
years
if he
old?
Don't,
stop it.
If Philly's not going to give it to him, someone else will.
They won't.
Don't throw your computer at me. Let me scoot over a little bit.
I'm not finished. He got to Philadelphia, never attempted 20 shots in one single game, okay? He went about 15 of the last 16 games or so, never scored 25 points or more but one time, okay? When you 2 shots in a closeout game, 2 shot attempts in the second half. No, you're not getting a max off of that kind of performance. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You know better. I know you know better.
Right. Super duper max.
No, super duper, no super,
okay,
no max.
Well, if Philly doesn't give it to him, I guarantee it's a team in the NBA that will give it to him.
Oh, so you're trying to tell me there's a sucker? You gonna follow my philosophy?
No,
there's a sucker born every minute. What we saying?
I'm just giving you what my coach say. I'm just the weather, man. I'm just giving you the weather, brother. If it's gonna rain, it's not.
Okay.
No matter what, he's getting a supermax.
All right, fair enough.
One clarification on that. He can only sign a supermax with Philly. Let's be clear.
Okay.
He can sign a max contract with
Philly. Well, max contract with everybody, supermax with Philly. Let me ask you this question. You are running an organization in the NBA.
What organization?
Told me super duper max.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
you
can't tell me I run the Washington Wizards, and now you're going to tell me I run the LA Lakers. It's 2 different organizations. So give me a good one. Stop saying
to
say it.
How about both of them?
Okay,
first
cool.
of all, I don't say stuff to say.
Okay,
you know
okay.
I say what I mean.
Okay.
Secondly, and more importantly, I'm asking you any organization you want. You give me an organization that can justifiably look at James Harden right now and say, excuse me, I want to invest max dollars in you for the next 3 or 4 years. Who's that organization?
Anybody.
Oh, my God.
Don't put God in this.
I'm sorry. You're right. I won't put the Lord's name in there, but oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You got to be crazy.
No, not crazy.
You got to be crazy.
Well, not crazy. Very sane.
Let's move on.
No, I want to ask you one question
quick,
because I talked to the guys on Friday about this. When we were talking about a game 6 and James Harden only attempted 2 shots, I had Tim Legler sitting here. I don't think you were on the show. And he felt like that was intentional why he did that. Stephen A. thought it was intentional. Perk thought he quit.
No, you're talking about, now we're talking about a whole different thing. When you say intentional, you mean like someone who was to, I don't know, throw a game?
Listen to me, though. I paused because I think that's the ultimate criticism. And I said, I want to be fair. And I challenged the guys. And I went back again and I asked them. And they said, and Stephen A. was here for it, that he felt it was intentional. And Perk felt that he quit. And I think that's the ultimate criticism of a player. So I paused. I followed up with them. And they said, yes, they didn't mince their words. So where are you on that? Like, why would he only attempt 2 shots?
I play with James Harden. And has he came short up in the playoffs? Yes. Right. But that's nothing new. Right, I challenge James Harden to make sure his mental preparation is correct, to make sure his body is correct, to make sure that he takes a summer to take care of his body. And he will do that because he hates being embarrassed. Trust me. I know this. That's literally my twin. I know him better than anybody. He's going to take this summer. He's going to take his body serious. He has to.
You got all these people up here talking about him, all right? But at the same time, it's no one in the league that can do what James Harden is doing still at this age, at this time right now. At his age, you can't give me another guy who's done what he's doing.
What has he done lately?
Buckets and facilitate and put pressure on the defense
But he hasn't gotten bucket, Pat.
And you know, and
because of the free throw rule.
I have a question.
Because of the free throw rule.
But I have a question.
Being honest. Pat,
so James Harden, Houston James Harden, an absolute singular force, potentially year-to-year best player in the world, MVP, high-level impact winning, playoff failures. CP never had that level of performance individually that James had. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Never had that. But when we talk about the playoff failures, when we talk about where they're at now, why are you holding Chris to such a different standard than James? Because I've been on two shows with you, and you have gone at Chris pretty hard for what he did recently. And all you're looking at with James is what he did in the past. So that's where I'm a little confused on that.
So, I mean, let me help you out so you're not confused and untangle that knot for you. All of my stuff come from CP when you guys talk about the greatest of all time. Right? Now, when you mention stuff like the greatest of all time, now you have to back up greatness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We mentioned James Harden. Has he came up short in the playoffs? Yes. Has he came up short in the playoffs in the past? Yes. GMs, this is nothing, like, if we know this, GMs know this, owners know this. That doesn't change that he's going to get the super max.
You know
that,
what?
That doesn't change.
Save that, guys. We got to get into commercial break, and we're going to come back to CP3 so you can explain more.